This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Do you remember when that kid was killed at Six Flags, had his head cut off by the roller coaster? Oh man, the first thing that went through my mind was, wow, how am I gonna make this funny for everybody? Here goes. Yeah, if you don't remember the story, he was on a church youth group, he was on a roller coaster ride, his hat blew off. After the ride was over, he's like, I'm gonna go get my hat. And there was a big fence with signs on it that probably said, hey, cut your losses. And he's like, what? Have you seen me in that hat? Not today, fence. And he went over it. And there was a second fence with more signs. Like, come on, knock it off. And he's like, you can't tell me how to live, signs. And he went over that fence. And on the other side, the story ends. Did he get the hat? I'd like to think he did. Right? A small silver lining. Like, I told you I'd get it. And then whack, right then. And I know he was on a church youth group and they don't believe in evolution, but that kid was getting picked off sooner or later. Yeah. And if I were a family member, I'd say 15 years is a pretty good run. But then again, I'm half full. The real story, which nobody talks about until now, is how he was decapitated. It was a suspension roller coaster, young lady, 25 years old. Her leg is what decapitated him. Shattered her leg in over 8 places. She'd have 3 surgeries and wear a cast for over a year. I don't know if you've ever worn a cast or not, but everybody and their mother will come up to you and be like, how'd you break your leg? She gets to be like, I punted a guy's head 90 yards. Yeah. Top that, Janikowski. Oh, finally a Raider reference that doesn't involve sucking.
Injection, fellas. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a
suicide. Suicide is a suicide. It's time to giggle.
Here's a fax from Cooter in Orlando, who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned Weekly World News. Quoting the story, in retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake. But I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kinky shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas, and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Tomaszewski... Thomas Kosciuszko suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil. Bob Furnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Time again! peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might make the gerbil come out. So that's what felching is all about. I'm again. Who says that? I didn't.
Interested in crime news and stuff like that, like cold case files and that kind of thing. I love reading crime news in general. I like the local paper in a city because they always have good crime coverage. And it's funny to me when the local paper will try and make someone sound prettier after they're murdered. Like, you'll walk by the newsstand and you'll see the headline like "Beauty Slain," and then you look at the photo and you're like, how about body found? My new favorite term in crime reporting is someone is a person of interest. That means that someone is like an unofficial suspect in a case, which I think is a pretty good term. But to me, person of interest almost sounds too flattering. Like, if I was in my apartment and the police pounded on the door and they were like, "A man was murdered in your lobby last night, and you are a person of interest," I would be like, "Moi? Oh, do go on."
One of the most brazen cover-ups of the 21st century, dim-witted conspiracy theorist Daniel Burgess told reporters this Monday he had compiled more than ample evidence to finally prove that the U.S. government is responsible for the creation and operation of NASA.
The clues are all out there if we just open our eyes. Skylab, Apollo, the Kepler telescope, the government's behind it all. You really think when NASA went to the moon that they just happened to put a United States flag there? That doesn't just happen. The American government was paying Neil Armstrong. They were paying Buzz Aldrin, too.
The simple-minded 34-year-old mentioned a provision in the United States federal budget allocating $18.4 billion to NASA and claimed that Barack Obama, George Bush, and every single U.S. president since Dwight Eisenhower had a hand in the agency's operations.
Kennedy was in on it, too. He was actually one of the main NASA guys. Yeah, Kennedy knew. Have you ever even looked at the NASA seal? Oh, take a close look at it. You might notice three letters printed across the bottom. USA. That's not an accident. Now, they think they're pulling this off right under our noses, but I'm on to them.
Thank you.
After briefly reviewing several documents outlining his parents' dire financial circumstances today, 23-year-old Wesleyan University graduate Zach Wallace told reporters he had, quote, absolutely no clue how his mother and father are going to dig themselves out of the $35,000 of student loan debt they incurred to pay for his college education.
I mean, this is going to be really hard on my parents. When I was in college, I just assumed that, you know, they would pay off my student loans within a few years of me graduating. But I never realized how expensive college is going to be for them.
Wallace, who graduated with a film studies degree in 2012 and has since had two unpaid internships, told reporters that from the way prevailing interest rates are trending, his parents could easily be paying off his debt for the next quarter century.
The way I see it, if the economy doesn't pick up in a big way, they're going to be paying for the rest of their lives. And on top of it all, they have to help me out with my rent, too. I mean, it sucks. Really, really sucks.
Quickly, how many non-smokers are here tonight? Non-smokers. By round of applause, let's hear non-smokers. Good. Because I have something I want to tell you, and I'm glad you've all conglomerated here tonight. Save me some breath, which is obviously very short. I'm going to tell you non-smokers something right now that I know for a fact you don't know, and I delight in telling my brothers things they don't know, particularly when they're true, which this is. Ready? Non-smokers, ready? Drum roll. Non-smokers die every day. Sleep tight. You see, I know you entertain some type of eternal life fantasy because you've chosen not to smoke. Let me be the first to pop that from the bubble and send you hurtling back to reality. You're dead, too. And you know what doctors say? If only you'd smoked, we'd have the technology to help you. But you people dying from nothing that are screwed.
Smoking is a big problem. We can't get people to quit smoking. And warnings don't work. I think you gotta change the cigarettes. You know what I mean? If you change the shape of the cigarettes, maybe that would do it. Like if you had a cigarette that had like two balls hanging from it. This doesn't look as cool as it used to. I gotta quit. This is ridiculous. Surgeon General warning, cigarette may contain tiny hairy balls. When somebody commits a murder-suicide, that's probably someone who's not thinking through the afterlife. Bam, you're dead. Bam, I'm dead. Oh, hey. This is gonna be awkward forever.
For over 8 years, Gary Lightman has been the chief executive officer and guiding force behind tech company MediaMerge Incorporated. Lightman spoke to reporters this week about working his way up from his humble beginnings as a son of the previous CEO.
If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would someday be the CEO of my dad's company, I would have said, absolutely not. I mean,
It feels like just yesterday that I started off as a senior executive at this company, and now I'm in charge of the place.
Lightman told reporters that he credits his continued success in business to a number of crucial moments in his career, including getting hired by his father's retirement, and a few lucky breaks in between.
I'm not going to lie to you, it was a lot of work. I mean, from the time I led my first board meeting 2 weeks after I was hired, to the full year it took for me to make the jump from executive vice president to president, I was here for nearly 8 hours every day. Someone clearly saw my efforts and took notice. You know, a lot of young people ask for my advice, and I always say the same thing. Work hard, and it will lead to bigger and better things. That's what I tell my kids.
Now, if you're following me on Twitter, you know I had diarrhea today. Am I using that website properly? Sometimes I like to sit on the toilet reverse.
We're listening.
It's nice, right? You can turn around, you can lean on the tank.
I'm gonna be here for a while.
Yeah, the people that are clapping right now are the ones like, okay, all kidding aside, he is a genius. No. It's the simplicity. I've been sitting on that thing my whole life. You're telling me I could turn around, have a bowl of cereal? Yeah. Set the alarm 10 minutes later? Multitask. All right, nobody should eat while on the toilet.
But I'm lactose intolerant. I've always wanted a joy bowl of puffins with whole milk.
It's more of an almond milk cereal, but live your dream. Somebody emailed me and they're like, hey, dipshit. Which for the record is a wonderful subject line if you ever want me to read your emails. Oh, let's see what this nice fan has to say. You had me at hello.
Like, you know you have to take your pants completely off to sit on the toilet backwards. Touche.
All right. So I don't research. It's a pre-shower. Agreed? Can we move on? Sticklers to every joke detail. You ever have a post-shower? Oh, might as well go back to bed, start your whole day over. Things are wrong. That's not the order of events. There's a glitch in the matrix. This world's not real.
Understand why when you hear it. Did you know if you were to second guess your decision to book time to visit a Native American community, that would be a reservation.
A police policing procedure in New York continues to draw controversy this week as thousands took to the streets to protest the NYPD's Stop and Kiss program. The policy, which allows officers to kiss anyone who they think looks suspicious, has been the subject of criticism from those who say it's a violation of privacy and a potential breach of constitutional rights. New Yorkers who have been stopped often say the encounters feel extremely intrusive.
Going through my pockets, throwing my stuff on the ground, kissing me on my neck and face. They push me up against the wall and start nibbling on my ear. It's humiliating.
It's something you learn to live with at this point. Every time I go out and I see a cop, I'm ready for him to come up, ask me questions, and give me a little kiss. Just because, you know, the color of my skin. I mean, you don't see them kissing any pretty white ladies out here.
In his last month in office, Mayor Bloomberg has continued to defend the practice, saying, quote, "This program helps keep New Yorkers safe. If someone is suspected of a crime, officers should be allowed to question them and leave them with a small and reasonable kiss on the mouth." Joining us now is legal analyst Susan Hughes and Mark Brennan, a former police officer who has defended the Stop and Kiss program. Susan, does this policy go too far?
It does, Rachel. Look, it's one thing to kiss someone who you think might commit a crime, but these officers are just kissing people left and right with no probable cause.
If you've got nothing to hide, then it's not a problem. They just stop, ask where you're going, give you a gentle kiss or two, and let you go.
I am not saying that the police shouldn't be able to detain people and kiss them, but it has to be done in a colorblind way. I mean, the fact of the matter is 9 out of 10 people who are kissed under this policy in New York are Black and Latino.
Yeah, that's because officers are kissing people in high crime areas. These kisses aren't racially motivated. The police are just doing their job.
But Mark, there have been examples, public examples, where these procedures have just gone too far. Let's take a look at a disturbing cell phone video that's been making the rounds on the internet.
Stop! Put your hands on your head.
Oh, come on, man. They just kissed me 2 blocks ago. Come on, man. I didn't do anything.
Shut the f*** up and let me kiss you.
This is happening every day.
But some argue this is just the unfortunate reality we live in. Tighter security at airports, sporting events, kiss points in Washington, D.C. Commissioner Kelly said, quote, "This is what post-9/11 police work looks like. Honestly, if we could kiss everyone in New York City, we would. We just don't have the manpower."
Look, the cops can either kiss people now before there's violence, or they can be kissing a bunch of dead bodies at a crime scene.
All right, well, thanks, Mark and Susan. It is a complex issue. When we come back, a new health study finds that eating McDonald's at the airport doesn't count.
Buy cargo pants, huh? Pockets all down the leg. One day I said to myself, "Daniel, that's a lot of pocket space. Why are you wasting it?" I speak to myself like I'm the Lord. I hope God speaks English. If I get up to heaven and have to point at a menu, I'm gonna be pissed. Anyway, that's a sidetrack. Don't worry about it. I have a 5-gallon jar at my house I like to fill with change. I don't stop till I reach the tip top. Then a little bell goes off and I know cargo pant day is here at last and I dance. I put the cargo pants on with a belt, extra tight. Don't want to have an embarrassing situation on such a great day. Then I take all the change, fill up all the pockets. That's heavy, so you have to train for 2 to 3 days beforehand. Mostly lower body. I focus on Kegel exercises. Then I get a car alarm. Not a car alarm with a car, just a car alarm. And I hold it to my chest really closely, and I walk around the streets of Las Vegas, and I wait for the first homeless person to come up to me and say, "Hey, you got any spare change?" Then I set off the car alarm. Woo, woo, woo! You hit the jackpot, mofo! And I start pelting them with change, and that hurts. But he didn't care, because he won. He finally won.
do live in Los Angeles now, and I don't know if you have these things in Denver that we have, what do you call, on the porch? Crackheads? These crackheads in my neighborhood, they are so annoying, and they're always, like, talking to me, like, I'll walk by, and they're like, hey, saw you on Chelsea lately, guess the camera does add 10 pounds. I'm like, you're bleeding. And how do you have cable? And these guys, they always try to act like they're in charge. Like this one just got like a fake Bluetooth, but it's like an old kind. It just has a cord sticking out like to nothing. And he tries to pretend like he's getting signals like where we're supposed to park. He's like, back it up, come on, come on. I'm like, Jimmy, what's with the fake technology? He's like, hold on, I'm getting a fax. And then he farted, so. We have this new thing too in LA. It's called the LA Gang Tours. This is a tour bus. $100 a seat. It takes you through the most dangerous parts of Los Angeles. And everyone, all the gangsters have agreed to a ceasefire for the duration of the trip, and it goes past my house. Here's the thing. I would love to know who is on this bus. Because you know it's just a bunch of white people in safari outfits who want to look at minorities through bulletproof glass. Oh, Harold, I hope it comes with a bag of crack to feed them. Ever since that NWA song, I've been dying to see Compton. Why are we glorifying gang culture? Like, if you're a gangster, your main contribution is spray painting your initials on other people's fences. Like, and my cousin, who's this, like, gangster rapper, he's like, no, Tosh, you don't understand. You throw a fat piece up there, that place is yours. I'm like, no one thinks you own Costco. My brother's a rapper, thank you. My other brother lives in a van that he put an address on. But I'm always getting in fights with the rapper because I just feel like the hip-hop artists have gotten very lazy. Like, they used to make their own beats. Now anything catchy is just stolen from another song. Yo, yo, one thing I gotta say. Every breath you take, every move you make, hell yeah, every bond you break, that's already a song. Since when did yelling over our favorite hits from the 80s become music? 8675309, that's my prison number, bitch! Hey, Fitty, can you stop swearing over that song I want to hear? Yeah, bitches, you know what I'm talking about. The sun will come out. They've run out of 80s, now they're doing the 60s. I heard this one, it's like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman. Whoa, 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 Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman. That is a song. Axe anyone. This is a real one. I heard one last time I was in Vegas. Let me see if I can do it. It's like, what's your name? Who's your daddy? I'll fuck you in the ass after your colon bleeds. How is that a song? I do not understand what is happening. These songs are so stupid. I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. If I hear that song one more time, they don't even make sense, the songs anymore. I'm Fred Flintstone, I'ma make your bed rock. What? And the chorus to that song is this 11-year-old girl, and she's like, I'ma put my pee on your sideburns. Okay, if you think that's where your pee goes, You're too young to be having sex.
Eating at one of my favorite restaurants in New York not too long ago, and I was having dinner with a friend. He's like, Aziz, what have you been up to? And I said, shut up. 50 Cent is sitting over there, and I need to hear everything he says. And 50 Cent did not disappoint. 50 Cent, the rapper, ordered a grapefruit soda. The waiter brings him a grapefruit soda. And then 50 Cent said the greatest thing anyone could ever say when they see a grapefruit soda. He looks at the waiter, and he goes, why isn't this purple? And it took me a few seconds, and then I realized, oh my God, 50 Cent has no idea what a grapefruit is. Excuse me, everybody in the restaurant, shut up. A waiter's about to explain to a grown man what a grapefruit is. You realize how amazing this is? There are parents that aren't there when their children learns what a grapefruit is. I am there for that moment in rapper 50 Cent's life. This guy leaves a restaurant, he's gonna know about a new fruit. And the exchange was just glorious. The waiter's struggling to explain the concept of a grapefruit to a man who just didn't get it. He's like, no, you don't understand, they're two different things. Grape, grapefruit, grape, grapefruit. I know grapes are fruits. Why do you keep saying it like that? No, it's just one word, grapefruit. You know, it's just one, it's a different, I get it. Grapefruit, apple fruit, orange fruit, carrot, vegetable. No, that's not it at all. And it just blew my mind. How does 50 Cent not know what a grapefruit is? This guy's been rich for so long. He has to run into a grapefruit every now and then. I do okay. I see grapefruits every day. What happens when he sees a grapefruit? Is he just like, what's up with those oranges? They're all red and ish. And they're big as fuck. They're looking at me weird. Shoot those.
But what? We don't love. homeboy's lady. Don't you know it's 80 degrees when I tell that bitch, please raise up all these NUTs, cause you get none of these at eight. As I'm off with the dog pound, bug freeze, and I'll be rolling down the street, smoking and all, sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking and all, sipping on gin and juice, laid back.
Dozy this afternoon. I just took a fluoride shower. How about you, Will? Oh, no, that's right. You got rainwater, you lucky devil. It's so terrible, you know. Every time I wash my hands, I think, oh, gosh, it's the fluoride again. It soaks into your skin. It gets into the pores. It poisons you to no end, you know. It's not possible to not get poisoned. It's just so frustrating. Every time you go out and you try and eat, have something to eat, there's more poison. And then you go out, you know, to get something to buy so that you can make yourself, you know, not out of a packet. And what you have to buy comes out of more packets than the packet stuff that you tried to avoid in the first place. And you get four types of packet residue. It's insane. There's no choice. Oh, dear Lord, it hurts me so much in my brain places. I can guarantee you, I'm not the only one who gets driven mad by the fact that you can't not get poisoned. Even right now, at this very moment, as I speak into a microphone, I am being poisoned by EMF radiation or something. But isn't it freaking hilarious? And no matter what the heck you do, you get poisoned. And so everybody gets apathetic and says, hey, well, something's going to kill you anyway. As if doing it a little bit earlier ain't that bad, you know? Who cares if you don't get to see your grandchildren? It'll be all right. I'm sure they'll exist. Or maybe they won't. Maybe the children that you get born will die quicker anyway. And they won't get to see their grandchildren either. Who knows? Let's just have some fabulous, apathetic society that doesn't really give two flying Fs about anything sacred. Watches copious amounts of pornography. drinks up as much fluoridated water and fabulous fizzy soda pop drinks. Washed down with copious quantities of McDonald's. This is not a healthy society. This is a sick, brainwashed, zombified, obesity, diabetes-ridden, mental disorder, suffering society. In other words, simple phrase, effed in a single letter. We all know what the F word means, and that's what each and every single one of us is at this particular moment. Because everything's so effed up that we could not be more effed than we currently are now. Wait, actually we could be. If we do F all about it. But conveniently, there are people like myself and copious amounts of other people, a plethora, if you will, a veritable mercenary army on tap, like yourselves.
Friend asked me if I wanted a frozen banana. I said no, but I want a regular banana later, so yeah.
Cannibalism's bad. It is. I'm not going to argue with you. But if you had to eat people to survive, do you think they taste like their ethnic background? You can get as uncomfortable as you want. We're going to do this joke. Think Mexicans are spicy? Do you have to have chips and salsa before you bite into Jose, or can you just dig in? I know guacamole's extra. I'm doing everybody. Chinese people, are you hungry 30 minutes later for more? Get ready, black people. Tastes like chicken. Oh my gosh! All's fair. White people? You don't eat white people. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. Yeah, that's the way that joke has to end. It's fun. It's fun because some white people are like, uh-oh. I laughed at black people taste like chicken because I kind of thought you were going to throw one in our direction. Now you pretty much hung us out to dry. There's black people here, not a lot, but a couple. One of them works here. It's a joke. What if that joke kept me from getting into heaven? Get up to heaven, find out God's black. Yeah, he comes walking up to me. Oh, that joke ain't funny, motherfucker. Let me tell you something. Black people taste like chicken. Ho, ho, bow down, bitch. White people taste like macaroni and cheese.
Woo!
The healthiest thing I do is I take vitamins and I put them in a drawer. Eventually I do take them and throw them out. Yeah. When I was a kid, I took Flintstones vitamins because I watched the TV show The Flintstones. I'd probably take vitamins now if they had, I don't know, Law and Order vitamins. Oh, I got one of those hot assistant DAs. Here's a Sam Waterston. It's always bitter, but filled with righteous indignation. Gun, gun. I think it's strange that there are stores that just sell vitamins. You know, like GNC and Vitamin Shoppe. You know what I mean? What is with the old English spelling? Is this where Robin Hood got at his ginkgo? Worst British accent ever. Vitamins, you know, they may be expensive, but at least there's no proof they work. There's vitamins, and then there's herbal supplements, which are not FDA approved. And to put that in perspective, the Twinkie is. I don't even know who herbal supplements are for. You know, it's like, hey, if you're not wasting enough money on vitamins that don't work, you should check out this stuff that's kind of the horoscope of vitamins.
Recipe for Sprite is lemon and lime, but I tried to make it at home. There's more to it than that. Want some more homemade Sprite? Not till you figure out what the fuck else is in it. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. You don't have to fry them again after all. I eat a lot of sandwiches. Who doesn't, man? Sandwiches are easy to eat. But I hate sandwiches at New York delis. Too much meat on a sandwich. It's like a cow with a cracker on either side. What would you like, sir? A pastrami sandwich. Anything else? Yeah, a loaf of bread and some other people? What kind of bread? Rye. No, banana. You got banana bread? What kind of cheese? Cottage. Get the fuck out. I'm not making a banana bread pastrami cottage cheese sandwich. That will severely ruin my reputation. I order the club sandwich all the time, and I'm not even a member, man. I don't know how I get away with it. I like my sandwiches with three pieces of bread. So do I. Well, let's form a club then. Okay, but we need some more stipulations. Yes, we do. Instead of cutting the sandwich once, let's cut it again. Yes, four triangles. And we will position them into a circle. And in the middle, we will dump chips. Or a potato salad. Okay. Let me ask you a question. How you feel about frilly toothpicks? I'm for 'em. Well, this club is for 'em. Spread the word on menus nationwide.
already know that fast food workers across the nation are striking against the incredibly low wages at places like McDonald's and KFC and Taco Bell. What you might not know is that everybody else, you, me, everyone, subsidize that terrible pay because we pay taxes to cover food stamps and Medicaid and other public assistance so that those workers can survive another day of getting screwed by McDonald's. Next, the CEOs at those corporations get something called performance pay, which is millions and millions of dollars based on their performance. Now here's the cherry on top. The corporations can then deduct that from their taxes. So McDonald's, for example, pays tens of millions of dollars less in taxes because they deduct the CEO's performance pay. You gotta wonder, how exactly do they measure the performance for these motherfuckers? Is it by the number of customers they're able to give diabetes and heart disease to? You know, just congratulations, Dan. You gave heart disease to 10 million people. That's $10 million in performance pay. Well done, man. You also doubled the number of double chins out there. Doubling a double chin, that's like four chins. People forget that chins increase exponentially, whereas love handles, it's just standard exponentially. We the people are paying these corporations to avoid their taxes as they run around pumping us full of obesity and disease, cholesterol and cheese. Basically, the government has hired a long-term hitman. They pay McDonald's and KFC and Taco Bell to whack people by way of heart disease. It's a long-term hitman. Or maybe they're just doing it to slow down the American populace, right? The ruling elite don't want people fit and running around. It's harder to catch them and arrest them. Fast, healthy people are capable of revolt. Slow people wheezing up a hill are not protesting anything. I mean, maybe lack of escalators. Seriously, you ever seen a sloth, the animal? They hardly get the jump on anyone. There aren't any trillion turtle marches. They're too slow. So I think the corporatocracy wants us fat and slow so they can hear us coming. It makes sense. If you had a choice between fighting against the slow walking dead zombies or the sprinting World War Z zombies who've been training in the off season, which one's you gonna choose? They're turning us into the slow zombies. Stop eating the fast food! Everybody's so worried about whether the NSA is watching our every move, but these financial terrorists inside their corporate offices, they don't need NSA intel anymore. They just keep a glass of water on their desk. Like in Jurassic Park when the T-Rex was coming, right? And if the water starts to vibrate, they look out the window and sound the alarm that a very slow-moving, lightly undulating mob of obese people is coming towards them. To the White House! After we take a break, let's everybody take a break. Alright, I'm gonna stick my head under this soda fountain and then we're going to the White House!
Desserts are what I call desserts. Tray trays are entrees. I call sandwiches Sammy's, Sandoozles, or Adam Sandler's. Air conditioners are cool blasters with a Z. I don't know where that came from. I call cakes big old cookies. I call noodles long-ass rice. Fried chicken is fry-fry chicky-chick. Chicken parm is chicky-chicky-parm-parm. Chicken cacciatore, chicky-catch. I call eggs pre-birds or future birds. Root beer is super water. Tortillas are bean blankies. And I call forks food rakes.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Hey, young America, we need to talk. You may think this is uncool, you may even think it is bogus, but I want to tell you about something that has everyone buzzing. Something that concerns mature boys and girls just like you. Something called grass. Not that grass. I'm talking about marijuana. You may have heard of it. You may have seen someone smoking it, like those burnout bohemians or that crazy-eyed custodian at your school. You may have taken a toke or two. But do you know the whole story? Do you know the blunt truth? Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. No matter what you call it, no matter what hip street lib it's referred or referred to by, it all comes from the same stash. It's all marijuana. I know what you're thinking. What is marijuana? What makes marijuana so dangerous? Where can I get some marijuana? Well, brother, I'm not going to nickel and dime you. I'm not like the man all you kids are rebelling against. I'm hip. I know what young people are dealing with these days. In fact, here are some of my free-thinking friends to prove how completely not square I really am.
Parents are hypocrites. They tell us one thing, but then they do another. Why don't they practice what they preach?
Adults never have time to listen to us. And when they do, they just don't do what we're saying.
Why can't we dress the way we want in school?
So what about grass? Let's start with the basics. Marijuana is a plant that grows best with plenty of water and sunlight. Its leaves extend outwards in a star pattern some say resembles a hand, an open palm reaching out to claim its next victim. Rolled in zigzags, or puffed from seventh period woodshop projects, the smoke from this plant causes a brief state of euphoria, immediately followed by permanent insanity. Users are prone to unpredictable behavior, including junk food binges, joyrides, and a sudden urge to wear sunglasses at night.
Marijuana should be made legal now!
Plus, they look flat out crazy. You there! Stop laughing! Laughing is a symptom caused by blowing pot. Take a good look at yourself. Are you addicted? Are your eyes half shut and bloodshot? Do you recognize that person in the mirror? Then blame it all on marijuana. Long-term use of marijuana can lead to a psychological dependency. Soon, you'll be taking all sorts of measures to get your fix. People will start calling you names like Pothead or Smokey McBongwater. Losing all motivation, it's likely that you'll drop out of school, take a sudden liking to sitar music, and maybe even get felt up by a cop or two. So why smoke grass?
I took it on a dare.
And if I dared you to jump off a cliff, would you do that too?
Man, everybody blows pot.
Uh-uh. I know this one guy that doesn't. Wait, not that guy. This guy.
Oh, no, thank you. Not for me.
When I'm high, it enhances my creativity.
No, it doesn't. Look at these paintings. The artist was stoned when he painted these. Those don't look like real flowers. Is marijuana really where it's at? Is it really as righteous as you think? There is more to life than grass. There are fulfilling careers and Garubi beach parties. The closer you look, the more seeds you find in your stash. Follow your hopes and dreams. Be someone. Do yourself and your country a favor. Don't let this happen to you.
Now, go find the others. .com.
You know, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I'm really going to miss you guys when the show's over.